Well, praise the Lord. We made it through another year. Are you happy? You're still around. So I've been reflecting on this year. Wendy reminded me that at the beginning of the year we talked about being a people of faith. I had no idea what God had planned for this year, as most of you probably never know what's going to happen in the year. But we have certainly experienced lots of trials and tribulations where we needed faith. People have come, people have gone. Praise God for both. We have lost someone dear to us, which was really big, really tough. And we have needed to be in and out, day in, day, people of faith and keep believing, right? No matter what's going on. That's who we are in Christ. Many of us have wrestled with all kinds of issues, lots of experiences, lots of trials and tribulations. And you know what? You're still here. You're still looking, moving forward. Some of you, it was a really hard year. But praise God, He's granted us the grace and power to keep going and persevering. I never know how things are going to go on Sunday morning, especially on Christmas, last Sunday before Christmas and the year ends. So I'm not one to do like liturgy and follow the calendar, but it just so happens that we are in the book of Romans and we're at chapter 5 and we are where we are. And I, for some reason, was led to tie it into the Christmas story. And so I'm going to do that this morning. But first I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you that you are God Almighty. And you are in control. Yes. You're Lord of our lives. Yes. King of kings and ruler over all creation. And we are your prized creation. Lord, you have found it in your love and grace to draw us to yourself and save us by the work of Christ, applied his blood to us and redeemed us for such a time as this, Lord. We are grateful. We are grateful people to still be here to praise your name and declare who you are to the lost. Lord, we are grateful that you have continued to walk with us through every single day and hour and trial that we have experienced, and you are still with us and you are here now. We thank you for your word that says you will never leave us nor forsake us, that we are your people and you love us. Lord, we are grateful for your presence and power in our lives to keep going. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are Lord of the church. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we declare liberty here this morning to receive all that you have for us, Holy Spirit. Come and glorify the name of Christ. Come and sink truth into our hearts that we might be equipped to go forward. And Lord, we are just grateful to have life and breath and the opportunity in this country to enjoy food and family and friends and even luxuries. May we be faithful with all that you've given us. We ask it for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I got to tell you a story. I'm just listening to God. I knew what was going to happen when I get up here. And I have to say this. I'm grateful for every one of you. I wouldn't be here without you. I'm grateful for my wife who keeps encouraging me to go forward and continue. I'm just amazed at the servants in this church, how we are able to continue as such a small flock to do what God is asking us to do. We are a praying people. I praise God for the Wednesday night team that comes faithfully every Wednesday and prays, and I'm grateful for all those who pray at home. For us in this church, I'm grateful for my elders who are walking with us to lead and to hear God's voice. I'm grateful for all the servants, for the worship team that come faithfully every Sunday we gather. I'm grateful for the house church leaders. Grateful for all the support financially and in every other way. And I can't possibly list all of you, although I could. We're small enough. But, and you know what? There's so many outside of this body that are praying for us and supporting us and doing ministry alongside of us. And it's just been an amazing year. Although it has been a tough year, it has been an amazing year because God is faithful. And God continues to supply all that we need according to his glorious riches in Christ. And so I'm grateful most of all for my Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And that he has put me in this body. Praise God. Praise God for all of you. I guess this whole Janus thing is, well, I don't know why it's hitting me now, but it's hitting me now. So, it's going to be a sermon like unlike any other Christmas sermon because, number one, I don't normally preach Christmas sermons. I just preach whatever God says to preach. Let's start with this. I'm going to read Romans 5, 1 to 11. For me, it's like incredible passage. It's the whole truth. Like the whole truth is right there. Yes. Let me read. Romans 5, 1 to 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice or exalt in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some one would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Incredible passage. Let me start with just a recap of where we've come so far in the book of Romans, and it is summed up in verses 6 to 11. Notice these words, verse 6, we're ungodly. Verse 8, we're sinners. Verse 10, we're enemies of God. Okay? That's what we are before we come to Christ. You might not think of yourself like that, but trust me, I've met lots of people who aren't saved. I was one of them. I was ungodly, a sinner, and an enemy of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, Christ died for me. Verse 6. Christ died for us. Verse 8. I've been reconciled to God. Verse 10. Through the death of his Son. It's incredible truth, right? And then you have these passages, incredible, like verse 3, where he says, not only that. Verse 11, not only that.
Yeah.
Verse 9, much more than, which is almost the same thing in the Greek. Not only that. We have hope, we have peace,
yeah.
We have grace, we are destined for complete salvation. This is just the beginning of our salvation, is being saved, but one day we're going to be totally saved and set free from this earth and glorified and totally justified and standing in his presence, free from all of it, from all the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and the sins and the world and the broken cars and the broken garage doors and the broken ovens and the, like, life on planet Earth is just crazy.
Yeah.
The accidents, the mishaps, the disappointments, the deaths. Ben was at a funeral yesterday for a friend's brother who won't have his brother, 19 years old, for Christmas.
Awesome.
Like, it's all around us, right? Life is just life. It's just death and struggle Sorry to be Debbie Downer here, but this is the Christmas story, friends. This is the Christmas story. It's not a little baby in a manger, okay? Think about this. Like, this is the way God breaks into a life, okay? I don't know about you, but when I read sinner, ungodly, enemy, that's the world. The Son of God, who is holy, just, and righteous, comes down into this world, right? It's ugly. I cannot imagine how a holy, holy, holy God steps down into this. Yes. There's only one thing that causes him to do that. Love, right?
Yes.
He so loved the world. If you read that in the Greek, so loved are the first words. So loved the world that he sent Jesus to die for us. So, the Christmas story. If I can do this. You have Zach and Liz, right? Zach and Elizabeth. You know their story. They're old. They're past the year of childbearing. You can imagine all that they're experiencing with the condemnation and the words. You know people, right? They're critical, judgmental. You must have done something. That's the Old Testament, right? It's retribution. God's punishing you, blah, 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 for what you did. And that's why they're experiencing this. That's what they got to deal with. Well, the angel shows up and tells Zach, you're going to have a kid. Yeah, right. Bang. You don't believe me? You're not talking. For the whole time your wife's pregnant, you're not talking. Okay, you can just imagine, right? That would be chaos. You can just imagine. I mean, we see a little glimpse because he comes out. They know he's seen something, but he's not talking. He's not able to talk. And everybody's saying, there's Zach again. God's punishing him. He must have done something stupid. Like, you just can't win, right? Zach and Liz, they just can't win. Then you got Mary and Joseph. You know the story. This is how God breaks into their world. Yeah. He doesn't say, you know, come to me and life's going to be great. No, here I am. Now the troubles start. Right? You're betrothed to be married. She's young, 15, 16, they say. She gets pregnant. Not with Joseph. Guess what everybody's going to say? Bad news, right? Not good times. Everybody's talking. Family possibly shunning them. Like, it's really not a good situation. Let's throw in a census in there. So now you're in, you know, Nazareth, and now you got to go to Bethlehem for a census. Listen, they didn't hop in the car and go. There's no donkey, by the way, in the whole Christmas story. There's no donkey, okay? They didn't ride a donkey. Maybe somebody had mercy on her because she's almost ready to deliver, and she's got to walk between 100 and 140 kilometers, okay, to go to the census with full gestation, okay? Wow.
She's tough.
She's a tough broth. They don't make them like that anymore. Not like you call the ambulance and you go to the hospital. So there they get there, nowhere to go but a barn in the back, okay? No bed, no doctors, no nurses, no hot water, no towels.
Right.
It's like, we're doing this, Joseph, me and you.
Yeah.
Here, okay? I don't know if it's night, I don't know if it's cold, but it's a long journey, and now she's ready. They deliver the baby all by themselves. Well, I'm sure they had supernatural help, but ultimately, listen, ladies, you know it wasn't easy.
Right.
Really, God? Is this what you called me to? It wasn't bad enough. We had to put up with all the slander and verbal abuse we got from everybody. This is where we are. 40 days. The Jews had 40 days of, after you deliver a baby, the woman needed to go through her cleansing period. 40 days of cleansing and purification. Somewhere in there, they got to go to the temple, and they got to bring Jesus and dedicate him at the temples. And now they're going back to Jerusalem. Friends, it's just like, God, will this stop? Like, is this possible that life could be this hard? Like, you show up in our lives, we each have visions and dreams, and next thing you know, we're like going through all this. Mm-hmm. This is the Christmas story. This is what happens when God breaks in your life. It's not pretty. It's not fun. Let alone, they want to go back home, and they realize, oh, they can't go back home because there's a psychopath who wants to kill the baby.
Yeah.
Now they got to flee into Egypt, like hundreds of kilometers away. They got to spend time down there until the king dies, Herod dies, and the new king comes into power, and then they can go back.
Right.
Absolute chaos, confusion, tribulation, you mention it. But what did they have to keep them going? They had hope. They had hope. Why did they have hope? Because God showed up in their lives. Individually, angel came and said, thus and thus and thus shall be, and Mary, thus and thus and thus shall be.
Right?
They had a word from the Lord. They had hope. They had a promise, just like we saw with Abraham last time. And so, the moment God shows up, the promise is great. You're filled with hope. God chose me. He loves me. He stepped into my life. It's smooth sailing, just me and Jesus. No, that's not what it says. It's not what the Bible says.
It's easy now.
Let's go back to Romans 5. Last time we were together, we talked about peace with God. We've been justified. We're no longer enemies, no longer ungodly sinners. We're reconciled. That's what peace means. We've been brought back into relationship. There's no longer a wall, dividing wall between us and God. We're justified, set free, declared righteous. We have peace with God through Christ. And we also, because of Christ, who literally, the Greek says, takes us into, introduces us into the throne room, to the Father. It's like, Father, this is Mike. I died for him. He received me. He's welcome because of me. He's my friend. You can let him in. That's what that text is saying, okay? That's reconciliation. It says access by faith. What purchased that ability for me to go into the throne room, for Jesus to bring me in and introduce me to the Father? My faith in Christ, okay? And what is the throne room? I have access into the grace of God. I can boldly go into the throne room and receive grace in my time of need. That's ability and power to persevere, okay? In which I stand. Friends, listen to this. I stand in grace. We stand in grace. We are absolutely 100% dependent on the grace and enabling of God to get
That's
us
right.
through life, okay?
Yep. Yep.
We cannot do this on our own. Joseph and Mary, Zach and Liz, they could not do this without the empowerment of God in their life. And we rejoice, literally the word means exalt or glory, okay? In hope of the glory of God. In hope of the glory of God. This is a very generic term. I have no idea what it means, but I'm going to lay it out here. Glory of God. In hope of the glory of God. There are three different ways you can have hope for the glory of God. Number one, okay, I just listed, there's three realms of glory. Number one. We live to glorify God as followers of Jesus. Number one, okay? We are living to bring God glory. Everything we do is for Him. Let your good deeds shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, right? Everything we do. Jesus said, Father, I've done everything you've told me to do. I've accomplished everything. I've given them. Here's the ones I've gathered for your name's sake. I have glorified you, now glorify me. Okay? So, we live to glorify God. I believe that's one of the ways. It's hope. I'm hoping that as I believe, that as I live my life and surrender my life to God, no matter what it is, I can exalt in the glory of God. I live for His name's sake. Okay? If you're not there, ask God to bring that revelation. Here's the second way. I believe we can read this text. In hope of the glory of God. Do you know the Bible says that we are being transformed into the image of Christ? Okay? We go from glory to glory. That's what it says, 2 Corinthians. We go from glory to glory. Each one of us, as we follow Jesus, are being transformed. Every single trial we experience is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ,
right,
to shape us and cut off the stuff that shouldn't be there and purge us and purify us, okay? So we go from glory to glory. Remember what we saw in Romans chapter 1? That we have fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? Romans 3, 23, I think. We fall short of the glory of God because of our sin. God is in the business, once we come to Christ, of restoring the glory of God to us. We're made in His image. Okay? How does He do that? Well, I believe it's through verse 3 and 4. So, we're going from glory to glory, becoming more like Him. One day we'll be completely like Him. But it also says the hope of the glory of God. Here's the last point. Three parts to the glory. One day, as we persevere, as we continue and are steadfast in our faith, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, right? We'll be completely glorified. And even in Romans 8, Paul will say, you are justified, you are sanctified, and you are glorified. He declares it a done deal, okay, because we're in Christ. Nothing can separate you. That's how he finishes chapter 8, from the love of God in Christ Jesus, okay? So we are guaranteed, friends, as you continue to follow Jesus, to be glorified totally, completely, reflecting Christ in the future, okay? I believe that hope of the glory of God is referring to those three different types of glory, all right? Now, friends, if justification and peace and grace and glory and hope is not enough, he says this. And not only that, isn't that something? Like, as if that isn't enough. Let me add a little more to the excitement and the benefits of following Jesus. We also glory. Same word as rejoice. Okay? Verse 11, same word. Not only that, we rejoice in God. Those are the same three words. Rejoice, glory, exalt. In tribulations. What? Can you read that again? Glory in tribulations. How do we exalt in tribulation? You know the word tribulation there is a generic word that means anything that goes on in your life. That is a hardship. Anything. It's not the word persecution. Literally, it's applied to every single problem that goes on in life. Okay? Your broken car. Yep. Your twisted ankle. Like every single thing that comes into your life so that you experience... tribulation, this rubbing of your character. How am I going to react to this? Am I going to like be upset? Am I going to swear? Am I going to like all of this is to reveal what's going on the inside of us so that we can deal with it and become more like Jesus, because that's the goal. We want to bring glory to God. We want to be transformed from glory to glory, and we want to continue and persevere until we get to glory. How does God get us to glory? Perseverance. Character. Literally, character means provenness. It's proof. This word character is God brings a tribulation in your life to prove that you are who you say you are. Okay, that's what that word means. When you encounter a trial, I don't know about you. I mean, I have defaults, okay? Like frustration. You ever experienced that? You ever, like, do the, really, God? Like, why? What did I do? What have I ever done to deserve? Really? You have this, like, it's not like, woohoo! Thank you, Jesus! I'm going through tough times. It takes a little bit to get there, right? While you're getting to that place where I have hope and I can glory in this, woo, this is fun. I like going through trials. No. You realize, ew, that's inside of me? I didn't know that was there. Well, God, you better take that away. Do whatever you got to do to take it away, because I want to look more like Jesus.
Right.
And that's the purpose of the trial. That's a tough one. Listen, you know what? I may have said this before, but as you age, you realize... wow, this is tough. Doing stuff now, at 60, I can't imagine 80. right? You guys can attest to that. I actually can't do what I used to do. I'm going to have to call for help. I'm going to have to humble myself. So what is God doing? He's squishing my pride, my self-sufficiency, my self-determination, yeah. Right? And saying, Mike, it's probably time you learn to depend on others. It's probably time you realize you're not Superman. You'll never fly. The moment you do, you're going to break something. You can't lift what you used to lift. You can't do what you used to do.
Yeah.
That's, I think, you know, I may have said this before, but as I walk with people through the aging process, you realize this is their sanctification journey.
Yep.
It's like you run, you live for Jesus, woohoo, Jesus and me are happy and joyful, and we can do anything. We can scale a wall, and then that wall looks really high. And then I can't even get my footing on the first brick, and it's like, what's going on here? And then as I run to the wall, I bang my knee on the wall, and down I go. And I'm in pain, and I can't even like run to the wall anymore. It's like, this is tough. So I gotta trust God. But that tribulation is to show me about myself, right? Why do car accidents happen? I have no idea. Why do my car break down all the time? Why did, like, these are the questions of life. I go, you really want me to spend that amount of money to get this thing fixed?
Yeah,
I do. Because that mechanic, he needs Jesus. And I'm bringing him to myself, and I'm going to use you to do it. Right? We never realize, like, I think as you get older, you realize, or we need to at least realize that I don't live for me anymore. I live for God. Mm-hmm. And I'm on display to the world, right? I'm a trophy of his grace. And as I go through these trials, I'm on display to the world so they can see how I handle trials. And they say, what's your secret? His name is Jesus.
Uh-huh.
That's my secret. But it's not a secret. He can be your secret too. Right? That's how he gets glory. That's how I get glory. Not for my self-exaltation, but to exalt him. When people say, wow, there's something about you. You're different. Right? It's just an opportunity to glorify Christ and to point people to him. Look at these words. Tribulation produces perseverance. Okay? Perseverance. You guys know that word probably.
Mm-hmm.
Like bearing under. Remaining under.
Yeah.
It's about remaining under.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about trying to escape and avoid and get out of it in your own strength. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about going through the battle so that you can experience his power and his grace in your life. And then you can encourage your fellow believer or even your neighbor or family member who doesn't know Jesus that I could not have done this without the
yes.
grace of God in my life. It's only because of God. Right? When sickness comes in with your family member, spouse or whatever, and you just don't know how to cope anymore because it's like overbearing, it's the grace of God is manifest in your life, right? And you realize in that moment, I can do this. I can persevere because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep going. And as I keep going, my character is proven to be worthy. I am able to do all things through him who gives me strength, right?
Yeah.
This is the purpose of trials. This is why. I mean, think about raising the Son of God. If they didn't go through those trials at the beginning with the whole birthing process and the whole census thing, I mean, how would they have raised Jesus? Like, remember the story where he's 12 years old and he's behind in the temple and they're freaking out because they've been wandering 3 days already.
Yeah.
Jesus ain't here. We lost God. And they got to go back and find him. This is a parent's worst nightmare. You can only do that if you know that that child is a special child. Friends, it doesn't matter. Listen, I know Jesus is like God, okay? But every child is a gift. And you are to raise that child in the fear and knowledge of the Lord and look after it and train it up in the way it should go to serve Jesus, right? So every child is We need to teach them these very things, that life is not easy.
Yeah.
But God.
Right.
By the grace of God, go I, right?
Right.
And as all this is working, I'm developing hope in the process, okay? I'm hopeful. God got me through that trial. Doesn't matter what's coming next. Because he got me through that, I can keep going. Okay? That's hopeful. And ultimately, your hope is future fixed. Okay?
Yes.
Because one day he's going to take me off this planet, and I'm going to be free from all these trials and tribulations, and I'm going to be with him. And I think that's the Christmas story. Mary, my son, I entrust him to you. Get him to the inn. Get him to the inn. Feed him. Raise him up. Take him to the temple. Take him to prayer. Take him to the book. Teach him the word of God. Joseph, you guys raise him up. At 30 years old, I'm going to call him, and he's going to go and do what I destined him to do. And that's the purpose of everyone. Okay? Raising a child. Eventually, God will say, that child's mine, and I'm going to do, now is the time, right? Now is the time. And I want to encourage us that we have a God of hope who's able to fill us with hope.
Yes.
Right.
No matter what's going on. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, even Jesus, it says in Hebrews, learned obedience through suffering,
yep.
Right? Who for the joy set before him endured, remained under the cross, because he was fixed on the future. And so the hope, yes, it's our future, but it's a continual presence of God in our lives. And I'm going to close with this, because this is really phenomenal. Hope does not disappoint. Hope will never let you down. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Here's the great news, friends. The moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you receive Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He came into your life, and he poured God's love into you, okay? This immeasurable, unfathomable, incredible love of God has been poured into your heart, okay, through the Holy Spirit. Why is that love there? Because you can't love without his love. We love because he first loved us, right? We love him, even though we were enemies, okay? Like, think about this. We're ungodly enemies, sinners, against God. Then all of a sudden, poof, we're transformed. And now we love God. And we come together and we worship God. And you read his word and you go, wow, God, you're so amazing. I love you. I can't believe you saved me. Your love just overwhelms me. How great is the love you've lavished on me that I should be called your child.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just, wow. You never had that until the Holy Spirit poured love into your heart. And friends, you can love other people with his love in you, no matter how rotten they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is phenomenal. That this is how they know we belong to Jesus, how you know, because we have love for one another. And we have love for people who aren't even lovable. I'm transformed. I'm new. And you know, the presence of Holy Spirit has transformed you.
Yeah.
That's the proof that you can do it, that you can keep going, that you can remain under, because the power of God, Holy Spirit, is inside of you. And here's what it says. He was given to us. He was given to me, and he's poured in, and he's God. God is in me. God is in me. And in Ephesians, it says, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Why do I have hope? Because Holy Spirit inside me is a guarantee that I'm going to get there. I'm sealed. I'm marked like, poof, heaven bound. How do you know? Holy Spirit's inside me. Right? Friends, this is wonderful truth. I just want us to, we don't know what 2026 holds, but listen, it's probably going to be the same as 25, unless Jesus comes back, or we get raptured, or whatever it is. But there's going to be trials. There's going to be aches and pains and difficulties and broken cars and broken bodies. And yeah, there's going to be lots of great things to celebrate. But really, you find out who you are in the tough times.
Yeah.
You find out if you're really confessing Jesus when times are tough. And I want to encourage you. Hope is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Paul says, Christ in me. That's hope, right?
Yes.
The hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He who has the Son has life.
Yeah.
He who does not have the Son does not have life. Even he will say in Romans 8, if you have the Spirit of God, then you are his, right?
Amen.
If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not his. But we have the Spirit of God. And he'll close chapter 8, I think I did this last time. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And you know, if you go to that passage, it even says tribulations and trials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Nothing can separate you. Friends, when you experience difficulties in life, you know what that proves? God's with me. God's with me. I can conquer. I can get through it. I can look to the other side of the problem because he's always there. Right? And his love. If you just meditate, I don't know, I tell people this all the time. Do you know how much God loves you? You know what? He says this. I think it's fascinating. I don't want to preach too long, but here. Verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who he's given us. Then he goes back to the gospel. Okay? Here's how you know. Verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward me and you that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. This is love.
Yes.
That he would die for me, a wretched sinner. And friends, even though I continue to sin, he still loves me. He never says, listen, it's not conditional.
That's right.
It's not unconditional. But it's not conditional in the sense that because you've sinned doesn't mean he doesn't love you anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from, but a lot of people believe that.
Yes.
If I messed up, he doesn't love me anymore. No, he loves you. How do I know he loves me? He killed his son. He gave his very best for me. That'll never change. That's how valuable I am. And so, keep going. Friends, 2026 is going to be an amazing year. It'll be full of problems. But God is with you.
God is with you.
I don't know how they do without him. How do you get through life without Jesus? You don't have hope. You don't have perseverance. Just get yourself in the world and you'll see people are ready to quit all the time.
Yeah.
They get so burned down with what they're experiencing, they develop mental illness, they got to go on drugs or depression.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, listen, we have Jesus. We can overcome those things. We can even overcome our mental states that say, life is not worth living anymore because it's so hard, right? No, life is always worth living because I have the life of Christ. Anyway, to me, that's Christmas. To me, you know what? It starts out, the whole gospel starts out with difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends, I mean, it's like the end of the world when Jesus is crucified. They don't know what to do. They think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But God is God of resurrection, amen?
The
story's not over. Your best life is about to be experienced when you have resurrection life in Christ.
Yes.
And if life still continues to be a thorn in your side, guess what? You're going to leave this planet and be with him forever up there. So you can't lose.
That's right.
You know, whether I'm here, I have him. Whether I die, I have him.
Yeah.
Praise God, I can keep going. Let's keep going. We got lots of food to eat. Thank you, Lord. Lord, encourage us with your words. You are always with us. That is the Emmanuel story. God with us. Fill us with perseverance, patience, and hope, which is already ours because we have Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your love for each one of us. Bless us, Father, with truth and revelation of how much you love us. I pray, Lord, if anybody in this room does not have the experience of the love of God in their hearts, Father, that you would do miraculous work through Holy Spirit to bring them to yourself, to open their eyes to the truth, to take them out of darkness and bring them into the light of Christ. Oh God, we just ask in Jesus' mighty name that you would continue to be glorified in our lives. And as we experience all the difficulties of life, that we remember that we are more than conquerors in you, that we have already won. We're already victorious because we're in you and we're seated in the heavenly realms. And Lord, no matter what comes our way, you have given us the tools to battle and overcome. We thank you, Lord, that you have supplied everything we need for life and godliness. And you will accomplish what you started in each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your grace, your peace, and your mercy. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.